Welcome to Side Podcast, episode 23, Goodwood Festival of Speed 2007. There's lots of news this week. Ferrari are suing their own people, apparently.
Oh, yes.
And you went to Silverstone testing.
Did I? Yep.
All sorts of fun things. But this week, we're actually going to concentrate on Goodwood.
Okay.
Because we have enough to say about that.
We'll come back to it next week.
This year, we decided to go to Goodwood all 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
We assumed that Friday would be the quiet day, not too many people there, because everyone should be at work.
Yes.
We were wrong.
Absolutely, fundamentally wrong. I believe it was sold out.
Yes, not straight away.
No.
Like the other 2 days were sold out straight away.
Yes.
But it did sell out during the day.
As we left, the sold out signs were clearly visible, weren't they?
Which probably would explain why we were queuing for 2 hours in traffic.
On a Friday.
It's our own fault, really, because we got up a bit later than we should have.
Yep.
But I wasn't expecting it.
No, it kind of put a dampener on the start of the proceedings, didn't it?
Yeah, we got there late and it meant we had to park in a different car park, which was a long way back. We had to walk up a road and avoid being hit by tractors. You know, all the good stuff of the country.
So first lesson is get up early on Saturday. What happened when we got there?
We actually went in the gate that was right by the start line and they were just lining up some of the F1 cars. Mm. So it was actually quite good timing.
It was.
There was a Red Bull. And
who was that driven by?
Amar Muller.
Mm-hmm.
And Toyota, which was driven by Frank Montagny.
Your new favourite.
Might be my new favourite. Well, do you know what? He was everywhere.
He was.
All weekend, we kept seeing him everywhere. I was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
And because he's not that famous, or as famous as some other people, he just wandered around by himself sometimes.
And you like him a lot.
I kept spotting him.
You did.
And there was also Michael Schumacher's Ferrari with no Michael Schumacher in it.
Nope. Still not arrived. Still never been to the festival, Michael.
Then we walked to the front of the house.
Yeah, this year's festival is all about Toyota, isn't it?
Well, no, they had the main feature. It's not all about Toyota.
Okay, sorry. But the main feature outside the house is a gigantic kind of a frame, a kind of wire framework set up with a number of Toyota cars suspended, kind of in a downward slope.
Yeah, was it 5 or 6 cars?
Something like that.
And actual real-life cars up in the air.
Mm.
And you could walk all under them and see underneath them.
Yeah, we had a good view of the underneath of a Toyota, didn't we? Haven't seen, I don't think I've ever seen a car, Formula One car in that position before. I never had a really good look to the underside of it. And call me a bit of a geek, but you know, you could see the whole plank and the T-tray and all the back suspension and all that kind of stuff. Very good view of it.
I did have to drag you away from the Toyota stuff though, because there was a crazy guy going up the hill
on
a motorbike.
Nuts, wouldn't he?
He was like some champion stunt guy. I should know his name, really.
Well, do you love the research we've done, by the way? A number of Toyotas, might be 5 or 6, and some guy on a motorbike.
Yeah. But I mean, he was doing all kinds of crazy things, like doing wheelies, no hands, standing on it, jumping off, doing cartwheels all over the place. It was crazy.
Defying the laws of gravity, wouldn't he, on that bike?
But it was really cool because it took him about 10 minutes to get up the hill.
I think it might be some kind of Goodwood record for the slowest hill climb.
Because he kept stopping and he did it for every section of crowd, which is really good.
Yeah, he really enjoyed it though, didn't he?
He did, he made the most of it. He went up about 6 times that day, I think.
And when he got to the top, they couldn't get him off the bike, could they?
No. Just,
okay, we need to go back down the hill now, get off. No, still going round. A couple more stunts.
The first thing we were desperate to see, of course, was the F1 paddock.
Mm, got to be seen to be believed this, because you've got these basic awnings and the motorhomes that F1 teams use, and they basically just got these Formula One cars in open spaces, so you can go right up to them really, really close, have a good look at them, closer than you could even get at a Formula One GP, and sort of take some photographs and speak to the engineers and all sorts. It's very, very cool.
Not all the engineers though, because a lot of them are foreign.
Well, obviously the Ferrari guys, they speak Italian, didn't seem to speak a word of English.
Because we were waiting, they do have them like roped off, so you can't actually get right up close in, but you know, you're only about inches away, and there was this little boy and he wanted his picture taken actually next to the car. So the Ferrari guy, being very friendly for a change, let him in. And then the little boy was asking him all these questions, but he didn't understand a word because he's Italian.
Yeah.
And he was looking around helplessly like, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
No.
But the boy got his picture, so that's the main thing.
Actually, while we're talking about Ferrari, you've got to mention that they had an F2006 and an F2007, I think, side by side. And it was really cool to see them because you could kind of compare the evolution and all the little bits as they've changed throughout the kind of the last couple of years. And, you know, we were talking during the last show about the longer wheelbase. You could actually kind of sort of see it, even though it's only kind of 10 centimeter difference. You could almost, if you could just about visualize how one car had a longer wheelbase. And I've never seen that before. I quite enjoyed that bit.
Well, the wheels on the one car were further forward, but it might have just been parked further forward.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's very difficult to tell what car was what, because a couple of the cars were last year's cars with this year's liveries, like the McLaren was. It was the 2006 car, but with Vodafone branding on it. And I'm not quite sure what they were doing with the Ferraris, but it looked very much like it was a 2006 and a 2007 next to each other.
Yeah, there was also Red Bull, Toyota, obviously, and McLaren, like you just said. They have the best lorry ever.
They do. They've gone to an awful lot of effort to design that lorry, haven't they?
It's got all mirrors and, oh, it looks good. It's silver.
It was very reflective, and you could tell that it would actually been like custom designed exactly to Ron's specifications. I almost, you know, think he designed it himself. It's that kind of look and feel. It completely looked like a McLaren truck. Even if it was a completely different colour, you'd know that McLaren had designed that. It was just gorgeous. And it was a truck, let's be honest. How excited can you get about a truck? But that was really nice.
Last year, a lot of our day was about stalking Jenson Button, mm-hmm. obviously. And we followed him from the Honda tent thing to the...
Tent thing? Awning?
Yeah. To the Honda hospitality.
Mm.
But this year, they sort of fenced off the hospitality thing. So I think maybe they got wise to our plans.
We couldn't get anywhere near it this year, could we? Because we didn't have the right passes. And we couldn't peer into their little looking glass windows. So we didn't really see much of Jenson, did we?
We decided the best place to be was at the top of the hill, but it's a big hill.
Oh, Jesus. After 3 days, it's a big hill, isn't it?
Yeah, we weren't in a very good spot at the top, and only two cars came up.
Yeah, the old Ferrari came up as well, but that doesn't really count. Of the current Formula One cars, it was just a Toyota and a Red Bull.
It was a little bit disappointing, but...
Only Friday.
Yeah, we were just scoping it out and seeing where the best place to be was, so it wasn't too bad.
So to sum up Friday, basically it was a bit quiet, but it was lovely weather, got a bit sunburnt, had a good day, didn't we?
And we had an ice cream.
Mm, on the way home.
We always have ice creams on the way home.
Absolutely. When it's sunny.
So on Saturday, we had learned our lesson. We left much earlier, much, much too early. The traffic was perfect.
Parked in the right car park.
Absolutely, which is much closer to the gate. And this time it took us in by the supercars. So we got to watch a Bugatti take to the track.
And what a lovely car that is.
So lovely. You could tell immediately where it was because that's where everyone was looking.
Yeah, there's, you know, Lamborghinis around there, a couple of a few Pro Drive cars,
Jaguars, Porsches, all DB9, kinds of
that
things.
That kind of stuff. And nobody. A huge crowd around the Bugatti. Following on from that, we went to have a look at the stands, didn't we?
There's lots and lots of merchandise stands and promotional things to have a look at. And there was this big building that had all these like concept cars in it.
Futuristic looking things.
It was all about green technology mm-hmm. and things. But they said they were going to have that, you know, that funky robot.
Yeah, yeah, the Honda robot, isn't it?
But it was just in a glass case.
Right.
It wasn't doing anything.
So it may as well have been just a cardboard guy.
I tried to take a picture, but there was too many reflections. And it's just like, why don't you just put a picture there, you know? They had the little video of what it was doing, and I'm like, I've seen that.
Yeah, we wanted to see it up close and moving. I don't think it did the whole weekend, which is a shame.
And then we went to Toyota. They had the big stand thing.
A big stand?
I'm not sure what you'd call it, really, but it had a car in it because they were doing the pit stop challenges.
Ah, the same thing we saw at the Autosport show earlier in the year.
But on a lot bigger scale.
Yeah, so each, you have four teams of three people, and they do a pit stop on each wheel. And they time it to see who's best throughout the day.
We were waiting at Toyota because Ralph was going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Which meant we were early to try and get a good spot.
Now, we've been quite mean to Ralph recently. But, you know, he's a famous face, so we'll hang around for him.
Absolutely. Got to get a picture. We had to wait through half an hour of the pit stop challenges, which at first it was like, oh, these are so cool. And then it was like, come on, get on with it. But...
I think, actually, it was someone was cheating a bit somewhere because didn't we notice that the front left was always winning? It didn't matter which sort of, you know, how young the team was. Always the front guys on the front left were always ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, but they did there was a Toyota person stationed on each wheel and they rotated. So it wasn't always the same person that was winning. So maybe the front lefts are easier to change.
Interesting.
What we're going to need to do is watch some pit stops in a race and see who finishes first.
Yes.
Because we are that sad.
We need to know.
Even though we'd been waiting for about half an hour, we were still in the wrong place when Ralph came out. We got pushed in with the crowds and we tried to use our elbows to make our way through all the people.
We spent the whole weekend being in the wrong place, didn't we?
Yeah.
We managed to get a couple of shots of the guy walking in and walking out, didn't we?
Yes, but when he was on stage, there was about six other people. They brought on all these random people.
Yeah, some kind of like Toyota champions throughout the years. But you can
rally guy and someone else.
Yeah, what they did, they got a lot of random kind of Toyota champions throughout the year together. And I think they basically bundled it all in with Ralph. So that everyone turned up for Ralph's signature and then kind of get these other guys' signatures at the same time. Because if they hadn't, I mean, no one would have been there for, you know, autograph hunting for those guys. And your favourite guy turned up, didn't he?
Well, he does drive for Toyota.
Yeah, you knew he was coming along, really.
When they'd finished with all the autographs and stuff, Ralph was ushered off into the crowd away to, I think he was about to go up the hill. And this is where we are good, because you went running after him, didn't you?
Well, last time it worked out really well, running ahead of Jensen Button and then kind of turning around and taking photographs of him and then running on a bit more and turning around and taking photographs. Didn't work out quite so well with Ralph, because firstly he was surrounded by more people and then he kind of went up and over a bridge, which is single file. So I was kind of stuck behind him and all I got was shots of his back. And then I went to run around him and ran down the wrong way. And basically I kind of got in the way of a McLaren being pushed from its awning to the scrutineering bay. And then I was kind of trapped and I had to do this kind of little walk where official people are supposed to be only. And so you had in front of me, all the official Toyota people pushing the Toyota car. And behind me, all the McLaren people pushing the McLaren car. And I was kind of like walking up the middle, getting in everyone's way of all their photos.
Thankfully, the way it works is you do the running and I stay and look after the stuff. Yes. So I didn't have to see it.
No.
Otherwise, I would have laughed at you.
I've got some great pictures of the back of a Toyota and the nose of a McLaren. And I was kind of getting redder and redder and sort of like more and more embarrassed.
And none of Ralph, which is what you went for.
Absolutely nothing of Ralph.
Someone thought it would be a good idea and would make good video footage to go in a helicopter.
Well, I kind of wanted to get out of everybody's way for a bit. And I kind of figured if I was up in the air, you know, I wouldn't be inconveniencing anyone. And you've never been in a helicopter before, have you?
No, they do. They're about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minute rides on a helicopter. And all you have to do is, you know, pay your money, wait for 10 minutes, get in the helicopter, ride around and come back. It sounds simple, but, you know, it was quite scary.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cool thing is you get to see Goodwood from the air. You get to see the expanse of it sprawling across the countryside because it is pretty huge, isn't it? And I kind of wanted to get on TV, you know, for our site. Podcast TV footage, you first time in a helicopter, just to see how it went. And I think you dealt with it quite well, really.
You just wanted to see me screaming, didn't you?
It made great television.
But I didn't.
No.
Because, I'll be honest, it wasn't that scary, but I do not like to fly.
No, but we've got some really good pictures of Goodwood from the air. And, you know, if you were down there on the ground on Saturday morning, we were waving. Were you waving back? Probably not.
Well, the helicopters went over like 30 times in the day. So do they have to wave to every helicopter?
No. Okay.
Because you talked me into that, I made you buy me a coat, didn't I?
As penance.
Yeah. So I got a bit cold because the Saturday, the weather, it started off nice. Mm-hmm. And it started getting a bit colder. And I hadn't brought a coat
because I'm prepared.
So I said you had to buy me one.
Mm. And did you find one you liked?
Well, the first coat I came across was an official F1 coat, you know, Formula One merchandise.
By official, you mean expensive?
Yeah. And I liked it, but I didn't really want it because I don't like to give Bernie money.
Any more money.
Exactly. So I wanted to go around and have a look at all the other stands because they have the official team stands. And I wanted to see what they had. But a lot of them have old stuff.
Yeah, really, really old stuff. Kind of teams that don't exist anymore. Orange Arrows, for example, Jordan t-shirts, Jordan caps, that kind of stuff. You really wanted like a new Red Bull top you were looking for,
yeah,
specifically, weren't
something
you?
Like that.
Couldn't really find anything like that, which is a shame because there was like Grand Prix Legends, but, you know, big merchandise places were there. Nothing relevant or, you know, contemporary, which is a shame.
I want to know where all the new merchandise is.
Well, McLaren's new stuff was obviously held for McLaren's own stand. But nobody else really, I guess Toyota had a few bits there, but there were the team's official merchandise wasn't really represented that well, I didn't think.
So we ended up buying the F1 coat.
Oh, yeah.
No, look, it's good. Look, see how cool this is?
I can see it. I'm not too sure it translates so well onto an audio podcast. But I'd tell you what, if you're looking at the enhanced feed, we'll put a picture of it on there now. Isn't that pretty? It's kind of black and red and has the official Formula One logo on it. And then if you turn it inside out, it's kind of like a fleece.
It's a reversible coat. But I like it because I think in my dreams that it might, like when we're at the race, it might get me into official places. Because I look really official in it.
You might need a badge for that rather than a coat. It's a nice idea though.
Because we were so busy waiting for Ralph and going in a helicopter and buying a coat, we missed one of the Formula One runs up the hill. So we watched the cars come back down again, because obviously it's a one-way hill. They go up, they must come down. And we saw that there was a Williams, which we hadn't noticed.
Where did that turn? It wasn't that we hadn't noticed it. It just wasn't there on Friday. Where did that come from?
Well, we rushed to the F1 paddock and there it was, big lorry. And it was weird because we couldn't figure out what was there before.
It must have just been an empty space, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It was driving me nuts. So
I don't remember there being an empty space, though.
No, nor an empty garage. But it definitely was not there on Friday and it definitely was there on Saturday. So I don't even know how on earth they got the big lorries in there.
We took some pictures of the Williams, obviously.
Didn't we take some pictures of the Williams? I'll tell you what, there was a brief moment, and it was really brief, when they had to take the engine cover off of something or other and expose the brand new 2007 Toyota engine in all its glory. And we got pictures. You know, I'm the only one who's in remotely excited about this, but I thought it was really cool. An actual proper 2007 spec engine in all its naked glory.
And you wanted to see that engine in action, so we decided to go to the top of the hill again. And wait for the F1 cars to come up the next run. And while we were going up, we saw Ollie from Blog F1.
You spotted him.
Yeah.
From his picture on his website. Never met him before.
Yeah.
He said, hold on a second, that looks a bit like Ollie.
Yeah. And he's going to think I'm some kind of stalker, you know, that I recognised him from his picture on his website. But, you know, I just thought, oh, that looks a bit like Ollie. And because we knew he was there.
Yes.
So,
You sent me down to find him.
I didn't. You ran off. You went, are you Ollie? And it was.
I'm telling you something. I'm so glad it was, because if it wasn't, it would have been a hell of an embarrassing moment.
It would have been quite embarrassing.
So that was cool to meet him, wouldn't it?
It was very good to meet him. And we made him promise to do some stuff on video the next day. And then he went down the hill and we went up the hill.
And what did we see up the hill?
We waited for the supercars to come up the hill because they were the next in the run. So we got to see the Bugatti in action.
Didn't it look good?
It's so good. And, you know, the guy, he actually, when he got to the top, he drove the corner so slowly because he knew that everyone wanted to take pictures and he was just showing off.
Well, I mean, you got him.
You would.
So would I, to be honest with you.
And then it rained.
Didn't it rain?
Poured down. I mean, there were these big, fat drops of rain. But I really thought it was interesting because I had my new coat, so I was fine. But everyone else, it took about 1 second and suddenely there was umbrellas up and there was Max coming out and it was like a military operation. It was so quick.
Yeah.
It's like, drop of rain, umbrella up. I was really impressed.
Well, everyone was kind of prepared and then, you know, it kind of came without warning, but at least everybody knew they had their kind of overcoats and stuff, or most people did. But we were kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere, weren't we? Uncovered, exposed, and just had to hide under our raincoats.
They had to delay the Red Arrows display because of the weather. And it was a bit of a shame because we couldn't see it. We only saw the occasional plane.
Arrow.
Yeah, because it's actually centered on the people at the bottom in the bottom grandstands. But I like it because you can hear the guy on the radio.
Yeah, doing the commentary.
He's like the proper lieutenant of the Red Arrows and everything. So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and he's got radio contact to the actual planes, haven't they? I mean, Formula One could learn a lot from the Red Arrows, I think. It was quite a good display and well-commentated display, you know, compared to what we're used to in Formula One. I think had it been slightly brighter day, they'd have done a full-on up-in-the-air display, whereas they kept it quite low because of the cloud cover, so we couldn't see much where we were. Had it been a bright day, we should have seen more.
Before the F1 cars, there was a bicycle race.
Was there?
Yeah, a bicycle, you know, two wheels, pedals.
Who was in this bicycle race?
Jensen.
At the Festival of Speed.
Yep. Jensen Button.
Okay.
And Mark Webber.
Okay. Your two favourites?
Jensen came last.
I think six riders.
The idea was there was, I think maybe was it four or five racing car drivers, and then the same, they had a partner who was an actual proper cyclist.
Professional cyclist.
Cyclist. And they were supposed to be a team and one would do the up and one would do the down, I think, or I'm not quite sure how it was supposed to work, but because it had been raining and the track was slippy, basically what they did, everyone all came up in one big bundle.
They did say that on the way up they were averaging about 20 miles an hour and on the way down they'd get to about 60. So this was a pretty fast bicycle race, wasn't it? But Jensen still came last.
Jensen was not fast. I thought it was unfair because someone shouted at him, "You can't blame the car this time, Jens."
Did they really?
Which I think that's really mean.
I didn't hear that. Oh, they did kind of jeer him as he came around the corner because, I mean, you'd have thought he would have at least run a bicycle race, wouldn't you? Or at least not go last.
Yeah, but that's mean because he's just cycled up a hill in the rain for charity.
Yeah, he's probably exhausted, but Mark Webber did trounce him. And, you know, he can't blame the
Webber
wind.
Wasn't first.
Troy Bayliss was first, actually, another Australian. And Mark came second. But, yeah, Paul Jensen, not so good.
They didn't come and sign any autographs.
Afraid of a bit of rain?
They barely acknowledged the crowd, which I was, well, half of me was annoyed because, you know, I can't just let Jensen off because he's my favourite.
Yep.
That annoys me when they don't acknowledge the crowd. But then again, they did just cycle up a hill in the rain for charity. So, you know, they were cold and wet.
So was I.
Well, yeah, I suppose. They just hurried into their vans and went back down the hill.
Yeah. But you got a couple of good pictures and you saw Jensen. Briefly.
Like you say, we were cold and wet. So we decided to get moving and we went halfway down the hill to there's some grandstands there. And we watched the motorbikes go up and, oh, that stunt guy, he went up,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't do anything because it was too wet.
Oh.
But he did manage to do a wheelie.
Well.
And he did, you know, he went up anyway, so
bless
it was
him for
still
trying.
Nice. And then the F1 cars went up, all six of them, Honda, Red Bull, Williams, McLaren, Ferrari and Toyota. The programme said Spyker were going to be there, but they weren't.
No, didn't see them at all. Not in the garages, not on display, not on static, not going up the hill.
I guess they changed their minds.
Mm. And I'll tell you what, someone else who wasn't there, Renault.
No.
Last
year. Especially, they were like the star attraction last year.
Yeah, absolutely nowhere to be seen this year.
I guess they have nothing to shout about.
Well, I'd have thought they could celebrate the 2006 Double World Championship kind of winning car, couldn't they? Send that up and down the hill a couple of times. One of their drivers could maybe have turned up. I don't know. I thought it was a bit of a shame they weren't there, really.
That was our very busy Saturday. We pretty much decided it was time to go home then, but we couldn't have an ice cream.
No, it was a bit cold for an ice cream.
So we had fish and chips instead.
A fine substitute.
Yes, but they were, like, so expensive.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you how much, but £11 for fish and chips is very expensive.
How much?
Exactly. And on the way out, we... had a good look at the Bugatti again.
You can't get enough Bugatti for my money.
We had lots of plans for Sunday. Mm. We were up early. We're pretty much the same timing as the Saturday, but it was pouring down with rain. The traffic was a bit worse than we'd expected, but that was probably because of all the Lewis fans. I'm surprised the rain didn't frighten more people off. But I suppose if they've spent good money on a ticket...
They're British. Rain won't, you know, frighten anyone off but us.
That's true. Especially if there's a chance of seeing Lewis. When we got in, we sat in the car briefly hoping the rain would stop.
It didn't look like it was going to stop, did it?
No. And whilst we were waiting, we heard a woman say she was only going in to see Anthony Hamilton.
That's Lewis's dad.
Yep.
She's only going in to see Lewis's dad.
Yep.
Because she likes him so much?
I don't know why.
What?
Maybe she thinks he's rich.
That is madness. That guy has more fans than Jensen Button right now.
We got jealous of some people because they had been very smart and had waterproof trousers on.
You mean they actually came prepared?
Yep. And we also spotted a guy taking pictures of the cars in the car park.
Because there's not enough cars at Goodwood for some people. How many cars do you need?
I don't think it was even a particularly good car.
No, it was a unique car, I guess. I don't actually know what it was, but it was very small. I couldn't be bothered to take a picture of it, so I couldn't tell you for the love nor money what it was. But, you know, this car's from all the ages, cars dating back to like pre-war, all the way up to a modern Formula One car. And who wanders around a car park for more? I can't believe it.
It wasn't going to stop raining, so we went in. It was really muddy.
It was like our own private little Glastonbury. Wasn't it?
It really was.
I haven't seen any of Glastonbury this week, but I'm pretty sure and led to believe that it was quite muddy. And I would like to say that Goodwood Festival of Speed was quite muddy at this point.
Our first plan was to do some intros for our video,
mm-hmm.
for Side Podcast TV.
We do have a problem, though, in that we don't carry any portable lights at the moment. So we kind of rely on good weather and sunshine to light our set.
Yeah, and it wasn't good weather or sunshine.
No.
It was pouring with rain.
And it's slightly dark.
Well, we found a sort of dry-ish spot under some trees, but then you don't get the good lighting.
No. So
and people kept walking in shock.
Well, you get that anyway. You're not going to stop that. But yeah, not our finest hour in terms of video production. Never mind. We did try and it may come out reasonably well. But the weather beat us on this particular occasion.
We were going to go up to the top of the hill again.
Not again. No more. My legs can't take it. It's amazing how much this place takes out of your legs, isn't it?
Yeah, we wanted to stop and wait for the F1 cars, but you weren't that impressed and got a bit fed up waiting at the track crossing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, we went to the scrutineering bit. I don't really know. What does that mean?
I think they're trying to make it out to be a bit more jazzy than it really is. Obviously, in F1 terms, it's the place you go to make sure your car's legal. But obviously, it doesn't really make any difference running up and down this hill. So it's just the place they go to park and wait their turn, I think.
We saw Steve Ryder and Tony Jardine.
And some Scottish woman called Jackie.
Yes, very funny. That would be Jackie Stewart.
Oh, okay then. Yeah, and Jackie Stewart.
You stole that joke from Top Gear.
Sorry. Yes, I did.
We weren't really in the right place at the right time, though, because we were by the bikes. All the F1 cars were to the right of us, and there were so many people, so many umbrellas, I couldn't see a thing.
Okay, so really, we wanted to be on the right-hand side of scrutiny, and we were on the left.
The F1 cars all arrived, still couldn't see them. And then suddenly all the people were shouting and whistling, and you knew that Lewis was there.
It was a bit mental, wasn't it? In terms of like the amount of people per square meter and, you know, personal space and all that kind of stuff. It went a bit crazy. Even in terms of Goodwood crazy, it went a bit mad.
We settled for watching him on the big screen, and we just happened to stop in the paddock where they were all supposed to come back. How very convenient. We watched an interview with Lewis Hamilton and Steve Ryder.
Steve Ryder.
Yeah, which is interesting because there's a guy called Bruce Jones at the top of the hill, and he'd been doing the paddock interviews over the entire weekend.
Sterling job he'd been doing.
Absolutely. I love Bruce Jones. I took pictures of him for no reason.
He gets to interview all these different drivers. He needs to know all this history. He asks all the right questions at all the right times. He's really good job. Really good at his job, isn't he?
And he was bumped so that Steve could do his thing for ITV.
For the Hamilton show.
Lewis did go up to the entire row of waiting crowd and sign tons of autographs, though, so he's definitely gone up in my estimation.
He was the only guy I saw do that all weekend. I mean, maybe some people did while we weren't there, but certainly most people tended to ignore the fans, and he spent a lot of time going around and shaking people's hands and signing autographs and that kind of stuff. So yeah, 10 out of 10 for that.
Bit annoyed that we could have been up there.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Just
that's
because
us.
Someone didn't want to walk up the hill.
Ah, it's all my fault. It would have been a mad crush anyway. You're safer off where you were watching TV. You've probably been safer at home, to be honest with you.
And then it was time for the Red Arrows air display. Now, we didn't think they were going to be there because on the Saturday, the lieutenant guy that doing the commentary, he said, see you next year.
So he wasn't confident it was going to be a good weather day then.
But they were back.
Sort of.
There was only 8 of them. Apparently, one of the pilots,
yeah.
Broke his wrist overnight.
In a bizarre gardening accident?
No, they said it was a completely mundane domestic incident, whatever right. That means.
Okay.
So there was only 8 of them.
In all my years of watching Red Arrows, which is more years than I care to remember, I have never seen only 8 of them fly. How ridiculous did their Diamond 9 formation look when it was a Diamond 8? It kind of had a corner lobbed off of it. Oh, we have a great picture. If you're looking at the Enhanced podcast again, you've got to see this picture of a Diamond 8 Red Arrows air display. I'll tell you something, we were having a bad day, weren't we? Whatever next?
Yeah. I mean, what they did was still good. And I think it's quite clever because they said they, what they call it, doing the missing man. So basically, like I think they said Red 5 took Red 3's place or something. I don't know. So it was still clever. They must all have like understudies and know what each other does.
Right.
So it was still clever.
This guy may have scuffered their kind of like summer season though.
Exactly. Right? If you've got a broken wrist for like, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
That's like summer's gone.
And I mean, for us, we missed it obviously on the Saturday. So we were in the right place at the right time on Sunday. And a few of them turn up, which is a bit of a shame.
Sunday was not a good day for us. And then I couldn't even watch the end of the demonstration because everything started happening at once. The stunt guy started doing things actually on the bike. The track must have dried up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually able to do some stuff. And then the F1 car started coming back down the hill. So all the marshals were pushing everyone out of the way.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. What should I look at? And in the end, I could only see someone's really bad perm and a shoulder.
Right.
So I gave up and went off to a prearranged meeting place.
Well, for when we get lost.
Exactly.
Right.
But you stayed and you got some pictures, didn't you?
I got a couple of pictures. I mean, the pain in the backside that is Lewis Hamilton decided to come along and rev his engine and fly past me. Whilst every other Formula One driver kind of trickled past slowly. So I've got lots of in-focus shots of your favourite in the Toyota. And the Kazuki Nakajima in the Williams. But all I've got is a slightly blurred photo of Lewis sort of going past ridiculously fast whilst everyone else trickled past slowly. So I was rather unprepared for it. And again, another missed opportunity. Even though I was in the right place at the right time, slightly messed it up.
We renewed our efforts to try and stalk Jensen. But because we could only look at the hospitality thing through a fence, we couldn't really do anything about that. And I saw a woman that looked like she might be following Jensen around with an umbrella, but he didn't turn up, couldn't find him anywhere.
He didn't drive up in a VAR either, did he?
I don't know if he was there.
No, they seemed to be lacking a driver Sunday afternoon, so maybe he didn't, maybe he turned up late, or maybe he didn't turn up at all, but I didn't see him anywhere.
Maybe he got scared off by the rain.
In the mud, probably.
But also, Anthony Davidson was supposed to be there driving an old Williams, but I didn't see or hear anything about that.
No, I didn't either. They could have done a slightly better job on the commentary, I think, just in terms of, like, these drivers are going to be coming up at this point. They just kept saying, oh, yeah, we've got some Class C cars and some Class 1 cars, and you kind of had to keep referring back to the book. And he could have possibly said, you know, Anthony Davidson's coming up in a Williams soon or something, but no, never saw or heard it. I did see the car in the paddock, so the car was there, but no idea where he was.
Like we mentioned earlier, we had intended to meet up with Ollie and with Keith from F1 Fanatic to do some video bits, but really, the place is too huge. We were always at the bottom of the hill while they were at the top, and then vice versa, and it's impossible to find anyone.
Yeah, it was a bit overcast, as we said before, and we needed a bit of sunlight and the weather to be with us, and it wasn't really going to happen, although we did keep trying, but unfortunately we missed them both.
We'll definitely have to catch them another day, though. I think Ollie might be a bit relieved he didn't seem that keen on the whole camera thing.
Not that keen. One way of putting it.
It must just be me that likes being on the small screen.
Yeah.
We were contemplating what to do next when we saw the McLaren going down for another run. Couldn't really figure out why. It wasn't supposed to be in that class or anything. But we followed it anyway, you know, as you do. Try and get some pictures.
And this time we were on the right-hand side where the McLaren was. Yeah.
Yeah, we were at a scrutineering. We went to the right-hand side, so we learned our lesson from previously.
And where did Lewis come from?
From the left.
Brilliant.
Obviously.
And then what did he do?
Then he hid under an umbrella.
Yeah.
Then he put his helmet on.
Yeah.
Then he got in the car and drove off.
Then he did a donut over the left-hand side where we were.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I couldn't see it.
Oh. Had we been where we were the last time, which was the wrong place to be, he would have done, sort of done a 360 right in front of us and then zoomed off. Instead, we were behind a bush.
I was quite rudely barged out the way by an enthusiastic girl, and she was saying, oh, I can see him, I can see Lewis. And I don't know if she had a friend or not, but...
She does. He's in her head and he's got Lewis.
So the scrutineering bit didn't work. We thought we'd go back to the paddock, give you a second shot at being in the optimum place, because you'd done it before, you knew what you had to do. And then we listened to the radio... Goodwood Radio, and they said that he wasn't coming back.
I think they kind of sent him home, didn't they?
Well, what they said was he would be going down in the course car and then would leave pretty much straight away.
After a couple of hours.
So I think maybe they weren't expecting the fan reaction that they got.
I think it's safe to say the police kind of said, look, you're not in control of this. You're not dealing with this properly. Get him out of here. And they just said, Lewis, you've got to go home. I'm sure it wasn't his fault. And I'm sure a lot of people were disappointed, but it was absolute pandemonium.
Six police people started following him around.
Well, yeah, they had to kind of extricate him from the McLaren motorhome because he needed to get down to the car, and there was just no way of getting him out. It was literally completely surrounded by people.
I didn't see any trouble or anything, but there was just a lot of people.
Oh, there were people turned into maniacs. There was pushing and shoving and elbowing, and kind of the stewards were trying to hold people back, and they were just getting flattened by these people who were just barging their way through. I've never seen anything like it, really. It was kind of like Beckham was in the place. It was that kind of craziness, you know? So I think all things being equal and for the best, they sent the guy home and just said, please leave our show because you're wrecking it, you know, through your own popularity. So I guess he went home.
And then we left. But I don't want it to seem like we only left because Lewis Hamilton had left. It's just that, you know, everything was going wrong.
We were soaked.
We were wet and cold.
It was dark.
And it just wasn't working. We'd seen all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. We'd seen everything we needed, got all the pictures we needed and the footage. So we left pretty soon after Lewis Hamilton. But don't get the wrong idea about that.
We didn't follow him out or anything. I think it has to be said, even if we had 3 clear days of sun, we wouldn't have got everything done we wanted to do.
There was still loads of stuff we wanted to do.
We didn't look at the rally stage, did we, with a big new jump?
No. And there was a Land Rover experience thing.
Yeah.
Where they were tipping it up and all kinds of crazy things.
Proper 4x4 as opposed to like the school run 4x4. So, you know, proper suspension and active tilting and all that kind of stuff. That was good. We didn't get on that. For the whole Ferrari section, we missed. There was a special kind of thing in like the center complex, wasn't there? Didn't get to see that.
Yeah.
So many things, even with a clear Sunday, 3 days, Goodwood, too much stuff going on.
It's incredible that we were there for 3 days and there was still stuff we needed to do.
I think, just a recommendation for improving the show, I think a travelator.
Yeah, definitely.
Some kind of mechanism to get us to the top. There is a tractor, but the queue is ridiculously long and it's not, you know, it's not much of a solution. Some kind of easy, or even, you know, the kind of thing they have like a ski lift. That would be good.
Yes, that would be really good.
A ski lift to the top of the hill would be excellent.
So I had a really good time.
Yeah.
This year we seem to be, I think last year was the most perfect day ever. Everything went our way. We got pictures of Jensen close up, you know, everything was just perfect. This year we seemed a lot more unlucky, but at the same time I think it was difficult because we were desperate to get some things, you know, because we want good stuff for the show.
Yeah.
So I think we might have put more pressure on ourselves, but I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely, totally and utterly exhausted. I noticed that you're having trouble standing up right now.
Yeah, I thought about doing the show sitting down, but that would be weird.
That's how tired we are. So, yeah, it really does take it out of you. It's surprising how much it takes out of you. In the mud, it takes even more out of you because your legs are obviously fighting against sinking soil.
Having to cart an umbrella around doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. And all of our recording equipment and cameras and stuff, you know, we were a bit laden down. But, you know, I think it's a perfect weekend. Where else would you rather have been this weekend? I mean, Glastonbury was on, but you wouldn't want to miss this for the world, would you?
Absolutely not. And you all have to make sure you go next year.
If you haven't been before, definitely check it out. I have one tiny criticism that there wasn't probably enough TV screens. A lot of the time we were trying to look to see what was going on and see the action, and they spent a lot of money on cameras. They have cameras all the way up, you know, following the cars. They had cameras on the red arrows. I'm not quite sure how they did that, but, you know, everything was shown on the TV screen. There just weren't enough TV screens to go around.
The really, really noticeable bit was when we were waiting for the bicycle race to finish.
Yes.
We were at the top. We were at the top, and so we didn't see any of the actual race. We only saw them when they were done.
Yes.
And we didn't really know what was going on. We heard on the radio, because they have the tannoys everywhere, we heard that Jensen was last, but we didn't get to see it. We didn't see if he was struggling or, you know.
Had a problem.
Yeah, so it was definitely noticeable that there were less.
So what was your highlight of the weekend?
This is going to sound really stupid, but I really like my new coat.
And materialistic.
Yeah, I know.
All those cars and you liked your coat.
Yeah, I did like seeing Frank Montagny, actually, because it's the perfect example of what makes Goodwood great. Is previously, I've heard of him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thought he was just some guy, you know, some old guy. No, not interested.
Yep.
And then now I've seen him.
You think he's lovely?
I just think he's nice, you know, worth looking out for.
Okay, what was your least favourite bit of the weekend?
Mud.
Right.
I'm going to have to throw my trainers away, you know.
Yeah, I think we probably wrecked two pairs of shoes and then some, you know, a number of pairs of trousers this weekend, which is a shame, but I guess it has to be done.
What about you? Favourite bit?
Favourite bit would be seeing you in a helicopter.
Thanks a lot.
Least favourite bit, I was almost going to say Renault not being there, because I really would have liked to seen this year's car up close. But you know what? I think what just pips it is ITV taking over Goodwood for the Hamilton show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was there for, what, 4 hours out of 3 days?
We worked out the maths, right? Goodwood goes on for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly about 12 hours a day. So Hamilton is there for maybe, he was on like in the public eye for maybe 4 hours at most.
Yeah.
So rough percentage works. It's about, I don't know, 8%, something like that. So presumably out of an hour long Goodwood show, you'd expect Lewis to be in that 8%. What do you reckon?
if it's any less than 95% Lewis, I think something's gone wrong. And I really kind of, I just thought it was a bit of a cheek the way they kind of hijacked everything. You know, they stuck Steve Ryder instead of Bruce and they followed him around up and down a hill. And it's kind of like you can already see just from the stuff that, from the footage they're shooting, you know, they only turn up on the Sunday to shoot stuff. All the kind of signs are saying that it's going to be a Lewis Hamilton special.
It just
happens a bit Goodwood.
It's really horrible because we always like to watch the programme on Goodwood to see if we're in it.
Yeah. And last year's was a good show.
It was, yeah.
I think this year, I'm already dreading watching this year's.
Exactly.
Watch out for it. I think, they haven't said specifically, but I think it's after qualifying the Hungarian Grand Prix in August.
A great weekend had by all, but an absolutely exhausting 3 days. I am now off to go and sleep for a month.
A month?
Yeah.
You can't go to sleep for a month because we've got a lot coming up. This week we've got the French Grand Prix preview video to make and release.
Yep.
Coming up on Saturday, we're going to have the French GP qualifying show.
Yep.
And all the Formula One news that we've missed and need to catch up on, which is going to be loads because we've got the old qualifying thing and everything to fit in the Ferrari conspiracy. Got to talk about. And then on Sunday, we've got the French GP roundup. So you can't get to sleep just yet. Busy, busy, busy.